to be read so that we all know the rules around antitrust. So without further ado, antitrust policy notice. Linux Foundation meetings involve participation by industry competitors, and it is the intention of the Linux Foundation to conduct all of its activities in accordance with applicable antitrust and competition laws. It is therefore extremely important that attendees adhere to meeting agendas and be aware of activities that are prohibited under applicable U.S. state, federal, or foreign antitrust and competition laws. Examples of types of actions that are prohibited at Linux Foundation meetings and in connection with Linux Foundation activities are described in the Linux Foundation antitrust policy at linuxfoundation.org/antitrust-policy. If you have questions about these matters, please contact your company counsel, or if you're a member of the Linux Foundation, feel free to contact Andrew Updegrove of the firm Gesmer Updegrove, which provides legal counsel to the Linux Foundation. All right. Great, so now that we've gotten that out of the way, we can get started into our agenda, which has got three things on it today. Just first do a little bit of housekeeping. Would anybody here be able and willing to write like a paragraph or so description of today's meeting just so we could share it on the listserv? Would anybody be willing to write that up?
I can do it. It's Marcus speaking.
That would be really great, Marcus. Your last one was actually awesome, and it would be wonderful if you'd be willing to do it again. So thank you so much. Okay, great. I'm going to quickly just top line what our agenda is, and then if anybody is new and would like to introduce themselves or feels like it's been a little while, then let's just go around the room. But very briefly, our agenda for today is three things. One is we are going to have an update about the wiki and get a sense of how do we use it, because many of us know how to use wikis and many of us also don't use wikis. So Bobby is our real expert on that front, and we're looking forward to seeing her show us a bit. Next, if there are any representatives from the white paper group, then we're looking forward to an update from them. And then we're gonna launch into part two of the Uzbekistan consultation, in which they're going to give us some updates from their presentation, and we're just gonna go into a question and answer phase to just help them think a bit about what they need to be looking out for while moving into potentially doing some blockchain serious infrastructure. So before we jump into that, if anybody here is new or anybody here has not been here for a while or just wants to say who they are anyway, this is a great time to say hi and introduce yourself. So take it away. All right, I'll take that as everybody here knows who they are and knows everyone else and has probably been here before. Great. Bobby, are you feeling, ready to get started?
Absolutely, very excited.
Awesome.
I'm going to share my screen. So is everybody seeing the wiki page?
Yep, see it.
Okay, so just to give you a little background, the wiki page is how all the working groups and special interest groups interact with each other. So our space, if you needed to find it, you would go up to space and space directory, and you would get a list of all of the wiki pages available for you to look at. So ours is the public sector, so I'm going to select that one. And this is our homepage. It has when we meet, the scope of our group, and also our ways to communicate, and the resources that the group has been discussed or presentations that the group has had the privilege of being exposed to. Also resources that the group sends that we think that are worthwhile to look at and read are also stored there. If you look at the left-hand side, we have a menu here. And I'm just going to go right to the member resource page. I'll go over our group contact information in a bit. All our meeting agendas are stored here. The recordings of these meetings are stored probably a few hours after the meeting on that page. And here's the member resource page. And I'm going to go here first because this is a two points on this page. One is going to teach you how to get involved and edit the wiki pages. That's the first section. And then the second section is a project matrix for our group so that we can assign tasks to different members and they can sponsor or kind of own those tasks so that the work is spread through the group and not just one or two people. So we'll go over how to edit the pages, and then I'll show everybody where they can sign up to sponsor something. I belong to the Learning Materials Working Group, so this link, how to get involved, is going to go directly to that page, because we have a quick information page on how to get a Linux login. So if you haven't gotten a Linux login, you'll see up here my face is up here because I'm logged in under a Linux login. And to get that, you would just need to select here. And it can walk you through the steps. You would go to the Linux page, and it's just a matter of verifying your email to get the login. That's all you really need to do. You don't have to be an employee. You just have to want to be a part of this community. And then after that, you can go to the wiki pages. And I'm going to show you here, if you want to go back to look on how to do it a little slower, there's the login button once you get your login and your email. And that will give you the ability to select the edit page, which I'll walk you through in a second. And then once you've done that, you'll notice the menu for the wiki page will disappear when you're in edit mode, and you just basically have the page spread out in its template format so that you can edit each of the sections. Excuse me. You can edit each of the sections. So we're going to go through that quickly. I'm going to go back. Actually, I'm going to go to edit mode too, just to show you real quickly what we can do. So when you're in edit mode, again, you would select edit. The menu on the left disappears, and you can now use it as a word processor. So if you go back later to look on how to do things on this Learning Materials wiki page, there is the edit mode. So it shows you how to create new pages, how to move the new pages around the menu on the left if you, you know, created it and it's in the wrong spot, or you know, you're moving it from a working area to maybe a white paper group page. So that'll show you how to create pages and move pages. And then also in the menu bar across the top, I know it's hard to see here, we'll go over it live in a second, but you can insert tables and insert different objects. So that will show you how to do that. So we're gonna go right now back to the public sector page. And we're gonna go to the member resource page, and I'm just gonna show you very quickly how to edit. So I'm going to go to the edit button, and you'll see that menu disappears. And I'm going to go into meeting notes, and I'm going to change that to Marcus, because he just volunteered to do that. So now Marcus kind of owns that responsibility, and I'm just going to put today's date for the status, because we're going to try to get those notes done for today's meeting. Hopefully sometime today. I know that's a little aggressive for you, Marcus. If you want to take your time, you can go in and edit that. Just to show you how to do that, then you would select the update button and you're back to regular mode. So your changes have been saved and now you can go on to edit other things. Just to finish this up a little bit, are there any questions on anything I've mentioned?
It's clear so far.
Okay, the last thing leading into our white paper working space, I did just get something on our chat page about a survey for the time, because I know we met after this meeting last week. We tried to meet the same time on the off week, and we ran into a problem with the room. So I think the time for the white paper working group is up for grabs or up to a survey. So I'm going to work on getting that group survey going, and hopefully everyone can take that so we can find a convenient time to meet. So that's going to be on the white paper workspace, the survey for a convenient time for everyone to meet for this. Again, this is the white paper workspace. If you have the login, you can edit it. You can drop in the purpose of the paper. I know we talked about some topics. So basically, everybody's free to edit this or go back to our member resource page and volunteer for something. If you're working on the white paper, please edit it and put your name in here as sponsor. If you want to present something to the group in the future, please edit in here and Rose will get back to you. Or if you want to sign up for some project that you feel the group should be working on, that would be where you would put this information. So, anybody have any questions? Okay, if not, I'll turn it back over to Rose to talk about the white paper.
Bobby, I just wanted to really thank you. You've done an incredible job setting this all up. This is Marta from Hyperledger.
Hi, Marta.
And I'm very happy to see that the group is really progressing well. And I encourage everyone to volunteer to some microtasks. And if there are any researchers or students on the call, I think this would be a great opportunity for you to get involved with the community and benefit through helping the group.
Indeed. Awesome. This is Rose. Thank you, Marta. Nice to see you joining the call. And thank you so much, Bobby, for this overview. I think we all know, or at least know now, how much of the wiki is really due to your diligent and consistent support of it. So thank you so much. And hopefully everyone now can see that the wiki is two things. One, reasonably easy to use, and two, actually open for everyone to edit. Nobody actually needs permission to edit it. And you can go right in and add things that you think we would find interesting, or you know, put notes in or do anything that seems to make sense. So that's the fun part of a wiki, is it's a shared space for everyone. And Bobby, thank you so much for laying out that framework and giving us a helpful overview of how we use it. So let's see how things go. And in terms of if you ever want to participate or present, you can put things on the wiki, or just as fast, maybe faster, you can email the group or email me or anyone else as well, because that's helpful if you ping out, just to make sure it doesn't get lost. But otherwise, this is terrific. Thank you.
And I put the link to the Learning Materials Working Group page with the step-by-step login information in our chat.
Tremendous. Great. Does anybody else have any comments or questions before we move on to updates from the white paper? Okay. Well, then let's hear from the white paper group, as we're all excited to hear what's been going on that front. Take it away.
Hello, everybody. This is Sean O'Kelly, and I see Sep Tarshi also on the call. So I may make a couple of brief comments, and then Sep Tarshi, maybe you can jump in with some additional comments, if that's okay with you. So I unfortunately I missed the last meeting with the working group. I was actually traveling during that time, but basically what we did decide in the first meeting is, I think at a high level, we've agreed on definitely two topics and possibly a third. We did decide that we do want to cover identity. Even though there's been a lot already covered on that, I think it's still. I think what we kind of agreed is that it's still enough of a topic that it's worthwhile to discuss and not ignore. So that's the first thing. The second thing is those compliance transactions or highly regulated transactions. We do definitely want to cover those and talk about use cases and examples. And then third, which we were starting to discuss, was the topic of governance. So at a high level, those were the three things that we discussed in our initial conversation. So as Bobby kind of just walked us through, sort of filling in, you know, sort of the white paper template, I think, you know, once we solidify that, I'm sure we'll start filling those topics in there. That said, Septarshi, maybe you can jump in with any additional comments or detail that you want to jump in with.
Thanks, Sean. Regarding the white paper, as you suggested, we have shortlisted three buckets of identity, governance, and compliance. And I just had a discussion with Balwinder Tharlo from Department of Transport, California. And he had a couple of interesting use cases he wanted to contribute to the white paper.
When you're done, press hash or just hang up.
So, I mean, he was having some issues, but I thank Bobby for letting us go through the different steps to contribute to the wiki. And from next week, we will be contributing, and I'll be looking ahead to the poll to make sure all of us, whoever is joining from different time zones, were able to come to a common time and have a meeting, maybe weekly or bi-weekly, and continue the progress of the white paper.
So I think that's, thanks Septarshi, I think that's probably enough for the update for this week, Rose. Think probably the biggest thing for the group, for Septarshi and I and the rest of the group is, like we said, we need to find a common time for all of us to meet. So we thought we had a common time, but I think we ran into that conflict last week.
I wonder, maybe Marta, if you're here, you could help. Is there more than one meeting room that can be used in parallel? Because it seems that it doesn't sound like the time was the issue. It was the fact that it was another meeting there.
Yes, that's true. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So I don't know, maybe Marta's dropped off, but I think that would be the first thing we could try to sort out. I see you, Marta, but that doesn't mean you know the answer. But if we could sort maybe another meeting room for you all to go into, then that would be, I think, probably the easiest solution.
That would be great if something was available.
Okay, I'll ping around and see if we can find something. Other than needing to find you all another meeting room, is there anything you need from the group, either big or small, in terms of input, participation, or something else that you'd like to let them know about so that they could consider dropping in or reaching out to you all directly about something specific?
I mean, I think at this point, certainly once we have that common meeting time, we'll let everybody know and anyone that would like to participate can. But in the meantime, if you want to email me or Septarshi or
read this message, press 1. If you want to listen back to it, press 2. Or to re-record it, just press 3. If you've decided you don't want to leave a message, press 4. To change the confidentiality setting, press 5. To leave this message and end the call, you can just hang up.
Okay, now can everyone
hear
me?
You've just recorded a message. What would you like to do? Leave this message.
Unfortunately, I'm unable to mute. There we go.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think in the meantime, until we have that common meeting time, or not the time, but like you said, the meeting space figured out, if anyone wants to email us, myself or Septarshi or anyone else that raised their hand for the working group, or for the white paper group, just send us an email with some thoughts that you may have that fit into one of those buckets, identity use cases or ideas that you have, compliance transactions or governance. One of those three buckets would be super helpful to get us some ideas.
And just to add,
from the group. So
Sean, just to add, I will request everyone who are interested to participate in the white paper, if they can share their mail ID so that we have a grasp of the mail ID as well as in the chat, window of Hyperledger. If we, you know, post something, they're able to access that. That'll be great.
Awesome. Two thoughts. One, if you two might put your emails in the chat, just so everybody can be refreshed on what they are. Also, I know from other discussions, sometimes governance is a term people don't quite know what that means. Can we get a quick definition of governance?
Saptarshi, you want to take that one?
Yeah, sure. So from governance perspective, there could be multiple layers of governance. So if we take it from a broad horizon, if we consider governance would be considered, let's say, with reference to a public sector, the governance of the data, let's say, which is specific to our purpose here, there might be different regulations in place and we have to comply with different standards. So there will be some sort of overlap and merging with the compliance and governance. With reference to specific differentiating factors in governance, we might be able to consider how the data is handled, or we might be able to consider if we are going ahead with the specifics as requested by different countries, because every country will have their own regulations, will have their own individual aspects. So coming to public sector, we might have to keep that in short.
No, that's spot on. Yeah, I think that so we're just trying to account for what the different environments might be in different jurisdictions, essentially. So we'll see where it goes. But I mean, that could be potentially all three of these topics are massive topics in and of themselves. So it's going to be. I mean, I think we're going to start with the general outline and start building it out and then kind of go from there. And if it turns out I know we've loosely talked about maybe having perhaps multiple white papers, that could still potentially be an outcome here. I think we just need to kind of start the journey and we'll figure it out as we move along.
That's great. It's exciting that you guys have figured out what buckets to focus on and looking forward to seeing how it develops. I'll take it as my task to follow up with the community architects team at Hyperledger to see if we can get you another room and therefore simplify that question. But if nobody else has anything else to say, I think we should jump into our Uzbekistan Part 2 presentation. So unless anybody wants to jump in, I think we're ready to go.
All right. Hi, this is Vasily again. Thanks for having us today again. It's really a pleasure to be here. Thank you, Bobby. Thank you, Marcus, for taking the notes and for just moderating and guiding us too. Let me start sharing my screen. Can you guys hear me well?
I actually don't see your screen. Do others see the screen?
I'm sharing right now.
Now we see it.
I don't. Okay, now I do.
Here it is.
All right, so with this presentation, we are looking actually forward more to a kind of question and answer kind of discussion that might happen after the presentation, so we can get some kind of clearance on what we could do better for the government of Uzbekistan. All right, so let me get started. And again, thank you very much for everyone for being here. So I'm happy today to present you a blockchain platform that was developed for the government of Uzbekistan. And first of all, I would like to note that this was the initiative of the government of Uzbekistan to develop this platform from the beginning. And in a collaboration with Blockchain Industry Alliance, it was also commissioned by the government authority that is responsible for the blockchain implementation on a nationwide scale. The other important piece of this information is that currently this platform runs on already developed pilot projects that are currently already in production. They will successfully designed and then developed and tested, And as of right now, they're really accessible and available for the public sector. So what we did for this platform is that actually we did a lot of analysis. We tried to get the best features and everything what blockchain has to offer, and we've included into this platform. And then also we tried to minimize all the negative effects that some of the blockchain platforms currently have, such as like token volatility or sometimes slower speed of transactions. And as a result, we came with this platform that we think really advanced among other existing platforms. And I'll be happy to share more details on that. And as I mentioned earlier, this platform was the initiative of the government of Uzbekistan and is a part of the 2021 digital economy strategy. As you already know, President signed this law, and we expect that by 2021, the overall blockchain adoption in the public sector should be around 80%. That's the goal we are aiming for. And the other very important to note that this platform from the day one, from the beginning, from the inception, it was compliant to the local laws of the country because it was a very close collaboration between Blockchain Industry Alliance and the government authorities that are responsible for all of this implementation and development in the country. So it was really inspiring to see that Uzbekistan is moving towards this direction where they employ the blockchain technology to be as a core technology for this platform. And it's really inspiring to see that. And just a few words about why blockchain. It's simple. The answer is simple. Is that because blockchain technology provides basic service by default for free to all users. It's fast pretty much. As a trust, it's given by default. So pretty much whatever the users agree to put into the blockchain, they all should be aware and they all will be informed and taught that there is nothing else can happen to this information once it's in a blockchain platform. Nothing can be deleted, nothing can be edited without others noticing it. And it's really great that Uzbekistan is trying to leverage the trust to build the economy for the future. And as I mentioned earlier, most of the data transactions and everything what will be happening inside of this blockchain will be done through the algorithm. So it kind of gives no ground to unwanted elements that currently present in many countries and in many economies. Is that it leaves no ground for the corruption and bureaucracy in a way that once all users agree to put information on a blockchain, then everybody should be aware and take granted that nothing can be changed anymore. So that's why it kind of like it gives the opportunity to eliminate this human factor and interpersonal some sort of issues and just focus on the business and building the processes around the blockchain core. And also very important to know that this blockchain technology and the platform gives absolutely real-time access for the auditing services and the organizations that are responsible for handling all of the making sure that everything that's happening on the platform and everything, how everything is done and is working, is actually compliant with all the regulations and the laws that country has at this point. So now when we know why actually Uzbekistan picked the blockchain technology as the core technology for this platform, I would like to talk a little bit about the ecosystem. The ecosystem is the goal that we are aiming to build on top of this blockchain platform. So basically it will consist of four major ingredients that we think very important to have for any ecosystem to start running and get the momentum required to start developing a whole day economy. So it will be a unified source of credible data. As I mentioned earlier, all the ecosystem will run on the submitted data from users and from all the involved parties who will be doing the business and processes on the blockchain platform. So it's a single point of reference for all the users. And then again, as I mentioned earlier, this platform already runs on the production-ready solutions that already went through the multiple iterations, and they were enhanced to the point when they're really smooth in transaction and ready to be implemented in other areas as well. We make it very generic and templated solutions. And so, of course, with what I said, building the more streamlined solutions, we expect that there will be more and more authorities and government entities joining this platform to run the transactions and actually, you know, take to leverage this platform to build their new processes for the government and for the citizens to interact together. So we do expect that it will that the ecosystem will grow, and with many equal right participants, and every word will count. So that's the foundation for building the whole economy in the future, digital economy in the future. So how it can be done? It's really a challenge, but also an opportunity for us because as of right now, we all know that there is no clear standards, like 100% finalized requirements, instruction on how to build the platform that can be used for the government use. So we decided to take a small step, and we created a pilot laboratory that will help us to prototype solutions from a pilot to production ready solution, and then scale it to all the agencies that might benefit from this solution. So first of all, we will identify the problem that is affecting majority of people in the country, and then we will root cause it to find the solution. Then solution will be transformed into the pilot. We will test the pilot, and we will make sure that the pilot itself is actually solving the solution. And once we confirm that, we will start thinking about what resources are needed to build it as a production-ready application or solution, and which can be scaled to a nationwide scale. So once this pilot is identified and the solution is designed and tested and certified, we will try to identify all the areas in the country where we can reuse this component, this integrated component, and once it's all identified and all of the things are defined, we can actually start thinking about how we will implement it on a larger scale, so everything stays intact and all the pilots and becomes actual solutions that will go in production and can be used for the government. For the government and for the citizens. Again, it's as I mentioned, it's a really big challenge. Currently, a lot of blockchain platforms, open blockchain platforms, public blockchain platforms, they are still facing the issue of low-speed transactions and token volatility and some other issues, which are still kind of in the progress. And we understand that. But for the government use, we can't have these problems not solved. So we build a solution, we build the platform that can handle up to 10,000 transactions per second. It's already been tested and recorded, and it's available for review if needed. We also thought that we can just, you know, create one single application and use it for everywhere. So we figured that we should give the opportunity to other government authorities to have this ability to create their own blockchain or what we call it side chains within the parent platform, the one I'm just talking about. So we foresee that we can scale it really fast. And again, the unlimited number of side chains gives us this opportunity and unlimited advantages to this platform at this moment. And also we've implemented them. We understand that government use will require a lot of storage so we actually designed the solutions where we will be doing the hybrid blockchain and database storage, where all the critical information will be stored on a blockchain, while all the secondary information will be stored on the traditional databases, which will help us with the cost reduction and the performance wise. And again, very important to know that our platform is built to handle multiple applications at the same time, which is the environment, the government. And as I said, like a lot of current existing blockchain platforms are having issues with that parameter. And that's why we think that this blockchain platform has a lot of like room for to bring more players and more processes and more applications at the same time. So we really think that this platform is built to handle the government applications and government use. So what's the development? Where are we at with the development? We broke this development into three major stages. First one, core blockchain. We already completed this, almost completed this. And most of the things we already tested, we already certified and documented and available for review. And right now we actually start focusing more on building a nutshell around the core blockchain, which is the service layer. So to help with the all the integration with external IT systems. And that will give the open doors to bring another players and who would like to work on this blockchain platform. And so on. And again, we do expect that once all of this will be done, we will start more focusing on actually refinement and fine-tuning the ecosystem itself by bringing additional unique solutions to close any gaps that will be existent and refine what we did to make it better. So that's the overall kind of development stages for this project. And of course, this has to be a very secure place. And to solve this issue, we decided that it would be a permission blockchain. And the rights to grant access or revoke access to the platform will be delivered, provided to the government authorities, designated government authorities. But in the future, we believe that there will be more rights given to other entities. Not just the government, but also nonprofits or business and educational, whoever will be party on that blockchain platform. And as I mentioned earlier, it's all from the day one, from the inception. This project was meant for the government use, and that's why all this solution was initially started to be built on the existing Uzbekistan infrastructure, IT infrastructure that is already protected and is already having all the required most of the required security services that is that will enable this security on the blockchain platform itself. So it's pretty much blockchain platform lives within the existing IT structure, and it's very secure from that perspective. And at the end, I just want to highlight again some of the advantages that we believe will make this platform to be a very competitive on the global market and probably one of the most advanced. And we put a lot of effort, and it's been more than a year we've been working on that. So let me just highlight the six most important features that we have. First of all, it's we implemented in-house built unique hybrid consensus algorithm. That helps us with the governing of the data transfers between the users. And it also allows us to exclude the miners and all the unwanted third parties at this point. So it gives more room for, for us to actually go better for forecasting, because we don't have to be traded on exchange. There won't be any issues with token volatility. So it will be a very stable environment where we can actually start making a forecast what we will need in the future, what resources we will need and what the cost will be for the government and for the citizens and everything like that. And the next thing, as I mentioned earlier already, we included one of the best features that blockchain can offer is that ability to create unlimited blockchain solutions or sidechains within the parent blockchain platform, which pretty much will have all the same functionality, all the same logic, all the same rules, everything that the parent platform has. And again, I would like to highlight the hybrid on-chain, off-chain data storage that helps us to store data in a separate kind of buckets where we store critical data on our blockchain, and all the secondary data we will store on the traditional databases. That way we can, balance the cost and performance. And again, to help with all the integration of external IT systems and new users and new parties that will be involved in all of that, we are creating some sort of open APIs, which already can be delivered today and available today in our source code. So we really think that it will help to integrate more users on that platform. And the fifth element is very important to note, and I already mentioned that we are trying to stay away from the like regular kind of tokens that can be traded on the exchange. We rather focus on the ERC-729 type of tokens that actually give the value to the users to attach the value of the assets or their rights to that token. And that way we think that it will be a very stable solution and a stable feature that a lot of users will leverage. And the lastly, it's that most of the transaction, most of the interaction and the relationships between the users will be governed through the smart contracts, interconnected smart contracts, single smart contracts, or chain of smart contracts that help, and that will bring the logic to the business processes to help like a system with moving the data and transaction around in a fast, in a smooth manner. And the last slide is our roadmap for 2021 that actually has the list of the projects that we anticipate to implement during these years. And the more detailed presentation is actually currently sitting on the wiki already. So if you have any more questions or you need to learn more about it, please feel free to check all of this material that we have listed on the wiki already. I'm not going to go through all of them, but you can see that it's very challenging and it's very kind of plans that we have, and we're really happy to be on the side with Uzbekistan to help to support them going through all of this transformation and getting their digital platform ready for the economy. This is all I have for today. We can start questions and answers. That's okay. Thank you, everyone. Thanks one more time.
Thank you, Vasily. This is a great presentation, and it's exciting to see this roadmap, which is so ambitious and yet a very clear sequence. It's very good. Would anybody like to jump in with questions or comments?
We're actually truly looking forward for that collaboration, because it's very important for us in the future when we start planning to integrate like on an international level, and like, you know, it's just very important for us to hear what we would happen to have by then, so we can all together be integrated at some point.
Absolutely. So there's two ways we can proceed from now. If folks have comments or questions, this is the right time to insert them. Otherwise, I think we'll look to the Uzbek team here to ask questions of the group, because we're here to support and help in any way that we have capacity and need to know what would be most useful for you. So first, let's just leave a little space. If anybody would like to jump in with questions or comments, please do that now or at any time.
Rose.
Hi.
Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry. Hi, this is Marcus. I have a question. As a Uzbek citizen, can I like have access to the source code, or is there some way I can check the validity of the current state of the blockchain in any way, so that like this transparency would really, does it really go until to the people in the end?
Hi, Marcus. I don't think I understood your question. Can you summarize this question? Like,
Can I take this question?
Okay, go ahead.
I understood the question. The question is,
how much of the transparency is going to be given to the citizens themselves? How much deep they can look at the blockchain? In the source code and other, and I'm the product manager of this platform. I think this platform eventually is going to be opening to the public and to the citizens more, but in at first it is going to take, it is going to be launched under the control of the authorities, gradually opening up its source codes and the system itself.
Okay, thank you.
I see in the chat box here from Mahesh, can you give some examples of the specific challenges you discovered and are trying to solve? So I suppose Mahesh is asking, are you facing any challenges right now that have not been solved? And ideally, perhaps someone here might have a bit of a tip or so around it, but at least to share what have been some of your challenges that are not yet solved.
Well, I can take this question as well. And this was covered in the previous, our previous call and our previous presentation. The biggest challenge is the concerns of the government on the or on the government side, whether they are ready, whether the system is ready, and how, well, eventually how to actually evaluate the system while not having enough resources and qualified personnel to check the technical side and the administrative side of the platform. This is the biggest challenge we as a contractor and as developers face now.
I think that's a fantastic and relevant question. I wonder if any of the participants here, you know, either playing as a government role or as a contractor who has successfully worked with government or similar, have you encountered this kind of question before yourselves? Open question to the group. Or are you thinking about it?
Rose, this is Pete. If you're talking about the challenges question?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Certainly similar observations are what we've seen in some of the projects we're involved in. A big initial question, of course, is all about ROI. You know, recognizing governments, public sector entities don't have unlimited resources. They don't often have money to experiment, so to speak. So launching these types of pilots is usually one of the more challenging things. And it takes what I just saw, a fantastic group with a very methodical approach on how they're laying out their roadmap and how they've done their pilot. It takes that kind of champion to get it started, and then it demonstrates value, and of course everybody jumps on board. But I just want to compliment the presenters here. I thought this was fantastic. I'll have to watch the replay from last week that I missed.
Pete, could you let them know who you are, perhaps, so that they can get some context?
Yeah, sorry about that. Hi, everyone. This is Pete Teigen. I am part of IBM's global government team, helping our government clients around the world evaluate and implement their blockchain solutions. And we've pretty much focused on Hyperledger Fabric as our go-to protocol, permission blockchain.
Thank you very much, Pete. It's really nice to meet you.
The one question I was going to ask is if you all have done any early return on investment kind of analysis. I know sometimes that's a little tricky to do, sometimes subjective, but just curious if you could speak to that.
Peggy, can you take this question?
Yes. Well, this is the tricky one, because the contract and the project is for the public sector, and there's not that much data on how it could be turned into money, but still there are figures that will be presented in along the adoption of the solutions to the government. I'm not sure we are able to share them right here. I just don't know if we have the right to share them.
Yeah, understood, and I appreciate
that. But the main approach is to figure out how much a final solution, one single solution can cost, and then to scale up by multiplying that to the number of adoptions and implementations on the nationwide scale. This is how we approach this.
If I could jump in and ask Pete another question, actually. Pete, I think one of the concerns here in Uzbekistan, and I hope the Uzbek group can correct or amend if I'm incorrect, is the difficulty of proving the legitimacy of a distributed ledger technology as a dependable and credible technical infrastructure when it's a completely unknown type of technology and innovation, and hence I think provokes in the government, it sounds, a lot of hesitancy because of not clear how they could even correctly evaluate, and really concerned about making a misstep and a mistake in moving forward. And I wonder how, you know, IBM or others are, you know, dealing with these very legitimate high-level concerns and how to approach that conversation, or what experience anyone has had on this front. And this is an open question for everyone.
So I'll jump on it real quick and then allow whoever else wants to comment on it. But you're spot on, Rose. It is the challenge. And that's where I think, as demonstrated here, showing a methodical approach that you're not just kind of winging it helps get past that first hurdle. I wish there were hundreds of government use cases to point out around the world that have gone from pilot to production to show as evidentiary matter, but it's still emerging technology, right? So it's really trying to highlight these fewer use cases and successes. A lot of times it just takes a small pilot. You know, we see a kind of a sandbox effort where it starts very small within a very limited group. Perhaps they have a little more leeway to experiment, and then they kind of shop that around their government entity as the success to help garner support.
Hi, this is Mahesh here. I'm sorry if I will be if I'm asking questions or saying things that have already been discussed, because I missed a few previous meetings. My few thoughts on this was this is a problem that every government is going to face, and the question that is being raised here on how to evaluate and how to ensure that there is some standard that will work and scale. I see an analogy between how let's say institutions, enterprises were initially having on-premise systems, and then they moved to the cloud, and then we had this trend of software as a service solutions that have come up. And I'm just thinking out loud here, so excuse if this sounds crazy, but something as a blockchain as a service. So if the group, we can start thinking about for a governmental solution, how can we create a stack that could potentially be used to create a blockchain as a service that can then be used by many different governments around the world. I don't know if this makes sense.
That's a great point, Mahesh. One country actually that has done enormous investment in serious blockchain government infrastructure is actually Dubai. And I moderated a panel with a representative of the Dubai developer in Basel at the Hyperledger Global Forum last December. And I'm wondering if that sort of example of Smart Dubai's very serious, I think they integrated with blockchain 40 agencies in their government to process information and payments between each other. And it's part of Dubai's goal to get rid of all paper by 2021, which is a very aggressive goal. So I think it might be time to try to bring Dubai back into our group to get a kind of advanced example of how it worked and see if we can make that happen. But at a very minimum, I would recommend the Uzbek team, if you do some searching around for Smart Dubai and blockchain, maybe you will find some information that can show how this really worked out in a scaled situation. And it is working, and they actually are doing full government infrastructure replacement. So that is one of the leading examples.
That's a great point, Rose. And I'm sorry, I didn't touch on that too, but where we see most success is where a blockchain pilot is embedded as part of a much larger initiative, whether that's a, like you said, government-wide digitization effort or something else. But that is certainly a faster path to getting it moving.
If I can add to what Rose said about Dubai, I had a chance to also meet with some of them, and some information that I want to share is what they have done is they have signed up with the IBM cloud. And so potentially, so what's happening over there is that they are getting IBM, the Hyperledger fabric, all infrastructure set up by IBM in their cloud. And then that is helping them to do all the work that they have done. Now, in this case here with Uzbekistan, I have no idea if Uzbekistan and other governments, not everybody will have the resources to be able to sign up with an IBM cloud, get their ledger infrastructure, and do those kind of things. So it's prohibitive. So how do we get around creating that kind of an infrastructure that potentially Uzbekistan can use? And because Uzbekistan has already done so much awesome work, and they know what they want and they know what they have to do. They just need a platform where things are stable, scalable, secure, and things like that. And so that's where I go back again to blockchain as a service. Is it a blockchain as a service, or can we have this Hyperledger core platform as a platform as a service that could be used by these different governments? So first is, how can we have this kind of a platform as a service or blockchain as a service? And if you're looking at the second one, we need some, we need to develop a stack that has to be that could be used in the blockchain as a service for different governments. I don't know if that makes sense. Just my thoughts.
No, it does make sense, and I would agree that creating a stack that could be reused by other governments. I guess that's probably one of the opportunities for this collaboration. Is that something we can iteratively figure it out? And as the point of this all this session is that we are willing and we are open. Uzbekistan and our company, we kind of really want to absorb as much as existing and working feedback and so we can internally build out all of this by 2021. From that perspective, yes, it does make sense.
Hello?
Yes? Please?
Awesome, yeah, I come from the government of Vector then. The question of Mahesh,
having a little trouble hearing you. It's going in and out. Maybe you could adjust the microphone a bit.
Is it fine now? Better?
Much better. Thank you.
Oh, great. Just to answer the Mahesh question, of course, we are ready to work with any company, with the Hyperledger programs and platforms. We are very much open to this. We are, even now, we are working with different companies. Some of them are right now here in Tashkent. We have a conference, big conference, and digital economy is one of the sessions in it. It's a large session in the conference. And if there are any new solutions available, of course, we're ready to review them. And just using the opportunity, I'd like to say big thanks to the Vasily for the presentation. And if there are questions to me, to Uzbekistan government, then I'm ready to answer them.
Terrific. Thank you, Bahudir. And for those who didn't catch, he is the representative of the Uzbek government, and I think the main champion internally for blockchain infrastructure. So I think this is a great opportunity for anyone involved at any point to have a dialogue with an active government official who is very interested and, you know, ask questions or start conversations around this topic, as it is a valuable moment. All right, well, I'll take advantage of this then. What exactly was the spark or the catalyst to even make these early investments and explorations on the part of the government? Why did this even get started? I think that would be interesting for everyone to understand.
This question, I would say that the government decided to establish a special agency, which is our National Agency on Project Management, in 2017. And in that time, and a year later, in June 2018, the government, the president signed a resolution which introduced the terms like the blockchain into the legal framework. So now we have the term blockchain in our legal documents, and of course, crypto assets, what the crypto assets are, and in general, what the digital economy is. And after that, many companies from around the world started offering their solutions, and including to the government sector, public agencies. And after reviewing this proposal solutions, the national agency decided that in order to have one single integrated system which can be analyzed in the future and which can be combined, it would be better to have a national blockchain platform. Any other old solutions, all applications might be developed basing on this platform. This, as far as I know, the initial initiative the agency had.
Thank you for that, and that's very helpful. I think it's very advanced and unusual for a government to have legal frameworks developed specifically around blockchain. And that is my impression anyway. So that's very, very interesting and exciting.
Yes, I also want to add that recently we developed a law on blockchain technologies. They drafted the law. Now it's under the revision. For this, we hired some international legal consultants. I hope that this year we could manage the submission of the law to the parliament. If it passed, then of course we will be the champions in the world, I guess.
That's fantastic. May I ask, what language are the laws and frameworks in?
Usually we work in Russian language and the national one is Uzbek.
Ah, would you be able to share a Russian version of these? As that would be very interesting.
Yes, we can do it.
The reason I'm asking is I run this group as a chair, as a volunteer, but in my other life, I help the United Nations with their top level innovation labs. And right now I'm working with the Big Data Laboratory Network of the UN, and their primary legal officer actually is a Russian speaking native and is doing a lot of work around emerging legal frameworks on new technologies. And I think she would find an actual law and framework very interesting for her. So if it would be possible for me to share it with her, I think she would be super appreciative.
Oh, great, great. Of course, we'll do it. And to have her opinions on it will be excellent.
Wonderful. Well, please email that. That would be great.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, as a responsible host here, I have to point out that we are 10 minutes over our technical finish time. So want to get a sense from the group. First off, from the Uzbek side, do you feel like your questions were adequately addressed, or would you like to continue to dialogue formally or informally, I guess as next steps? That would be number one. Number two is our subgroup on the white paper has this hour for themselves, but they may be willing to share it. So if people, maybe we would like to discuss amongst ourselves what to do in terms of either keeping the line open or continuing the discussion in other ways. What do people think?
Thank you, Rose. We are pretty much happy for the discussion we had now. For now, I guess it will be okay to finish it, and for the projects we will discuss it, I guess, further with you offline, I guess. And if people have questions, any ideas, any input, of course, we are ready. My email is available. I will write it into the chat, of course. Thank you.
That's great to hear.
Thank you very much, Rose.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks to everyone.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.